Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're live on the scene of an officer-involved shooting just blocks away from a Raleigh middle school. What we're learning about the investigation.
Plus, deadly tornadoes decimate parts of Mississippi and Alabama. How government officials plan to help homeowners rebuild.
And we started off early this morning with some thunderstorms. We have another front that'll come swinging through this evening. I'll show you what to expect from that.
State and local authorities are investigating a shooting involving a Raleigh police officer. The first emergency calls came in right around 7 a.m. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. A large police presence could be seen on Cumberland Street near downtown. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live on scene with what happened in the moments after police say the shooter fired at them. Chelsea.
Yeah, we're here at the corner of Cumberland Street and Upchurch Street. It's one of the many streets in this neighborhood blocked with crime scene tape. Residents in the area that I talked to say around 7 o'clock this morning, they heard what appeared to be about 5 to 7 gunshots ring out. I want to step aside and kind of show you the center of activity here. You can see behind me, this is a Raleigh police car. This is sort of surrounded by crime scene tape. This is the center of activity regarding this officer-involved shooting. It's very interesting, though. You can see those officers surrounded by one of the cruisers, which we can show you some video of the forensic teams processing that RPD SUV this morning. We've seen them putting evidence markers all around the car. Police also have been going in and out of a home, around the 700 block of Cumberland Street. This area, as you mentioned, just a few minutes away from Ligon Middle School. WRAL News was originally told by Raleigh Police said officers responded to a shots fired call at that school, but WRAL later learned that shots were not fired on campus, but of course nearby. All students and teachers are safe. Now, as we mentioned, the first emergency calls came in around 7 o'clock this morning. Take a listen to this radio traffic this morning from Broadcastify.
Shots fired. Shots fired. Suspect is shooting at us. Suspect is actively firing at us.
Now, earlier this morning, the principal of Ligon Magnet Middle School said the school went into a code yellow lockdown around 7 after that shooting. No one was allowed in or out of the building. We are still awaiting word from Raleigh police regarding this officer-involved shooting. We want to know, of course, if any officers were injured or the condition of the person that was shot. We hope to have those details later in our newscast. Renee.
Chelsea Donovan reporting live in Southeast Raleigh.
A cold front will cross our area this afternoon, bringing a chance of scattered showers to our southern counties. This is a live look downtown Raleigh right now. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at who will see the rain and what time.
We've been dealing with this system already. It may have woken you up between, say, 2 and 4 a.m. when the warm front crossed our area. And then the rain tapered off, and it was fairly light to moving on out during the morning commute. But this front will continue to move eastward and cross our area. Most of the severe storms with this are in the deep south, mainly across parts of Georgia and Alabama right now. We still do have a lot of cloud cover. You can see that here in Apex. The streets have dried out nicely, though, from the rain that we saw earlier today. We're looking at cloud cover through the afternoon. There may be a few holes in the clouds. We might start to see a little bit of sunshine peeking through around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we'll see that front coming through. And you'll see this line, a small, quick line of showers, maybe an isolated thunderstorm along with that, right around the time of the evening commute, and then dissipating by about 7 p.m. with clearing skies behind it. So it's not a lot of rain. We'll see some sunshine. Temperatures are likely to climb into the upper 70s. There's a lot of moisture in the atmosphere. It's a bit humid out there. So again, a very small line of thunderstorms that comes across our viewing area between around 5 and 7 p.m. After that, we'll begin to see some clearing. We have another disturbance that rolls through late tomorrow, and I'll walk you through the timeline for that coming up.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, I want to take you out to Mississippi. These images are just devastating. Residents there in Mississippi are recovering after tornadoes tore through the state over the weekend, leaving at least 26 people dead. The town of Rolling Fork was hit especially hard with an EF4 tornado touching down there. Residents continuing to sift through debris, looking for anything that they can salvage. But as you can see, the damage is just devastating. Coming up at 12:30, we're going to hear from officials in Mississippi about why recovery efforts might be difficult there.
We're just days away from Dreamville, the sold-out music festival founded by Fayetteville native artist and producer J. Cole. He's bringing some of the top names in music to Dix Park. Just a short time ago, organizers and Raleigh city officials updated us on the plans. WRL's Destiny Patterson joins us now live with what we need to know. Destiny.
Well, that's right. If you look behind me, you can already see that they've got fencing up. They have signs posted. They're even putting the stage together. And they're letting people know that this park will be closed for that festival this weekend. And this is the first time that Dreamville has been sold out in advance since the beginning of that festival. So they're trying to make sure that festival goers still have a good experience. Now, the spokesperson for Dreamville listed several changes, including more Uber and Lyft drop-offs, as well as improved bathrooms. And they also say they've been in contact with AT&T and Verizon to make sure that that cell service holds up with all of those people in one area. One of the co-founders listed some of the people that they have in the lineup, including Drake, Usher, Sean Paul, and Summer Walker, and he says that they're trying to appeal to multiple generations, and he says that's also part of the visitor experience.
We intentionally try to book talent that we feel caters a little bit to our generation, a little bit over. We always call it kind of a throwback slot that we try to have in the lineup. So you get these different levels. You get high school kids, you get college kids. We're right next to NC State. It's important to have artists that resonate with them.
RPD says that they are also beefing up security, and they will have a higher, very visual law enforcement presence here over the weekend. That includes several Wake County agencies.
All right, Destiny Patterson live at Dix Park for us this noon, and thank you for the update there. RPD beefing up the security plans and everything to keep people safe there and have a good time there. It's a visual law enforcement presence that will include several Wake County agencies as well.
Stocks are up for Raleigh-based First Citizens Bank this noon after taking over Silicon Valley Bank. That's the bank that failed earlier this month, sending other banks into a scramble. The announcement was made after 1 a.m. The 17 former branches of SVB will open as First Citizens branches on Monday. Now, the news of the deal comes as representatives from the FDIC prepare to testify about the bank failures on Capitol Hill. Representative Patrick McHenry of North Carolina will lead the hearing of the House Financial Services Committee tomorrow. Shares of First Citizens Bank soaring 45% after the bank buys a chunk of Silicon Valley Bank. And as you can see, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rising about 170 points. S&P 500 gaining a little traction, up 3 points. NASDAQ is down, though, down 75 points. But overall, investors are feeling a little more optimistic about the stability of the banking sector.
President Biden is coming to North Carolina tomorrow to kick off the Investing in America tour. The president will tour Wolfspeed in Durham. Semiconductor manufacturer recently announced a $5 billion investment in North Carolina. It is set to bring around 1,800 new jobs. WRL's Matt Tallhelm and Sarah Kruger will provide live team coverage of that visit. Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to announce a $139 million aid package for Ghana as she begins a week-long tour to Africa. It is part of Washington's drive to counter growing Chinese and Russian influence on the continent. China has invested heavily in Africa in the last two decades, particularly in infrastructure, mining, timber, and fishing. A private military contractor in Russia is providing security assistance in several countries. Harris's trip includes visits to Tanzania and Zambia.
The New York City grand jury investigating the 2016 Donald Trump hush money allegations is expected to reconvene. The former president put the investigation in his rhetorical crosshairs at his campaign rally. The district attorney has even become the target of dozens of violent threats. NBC's Garrett Haake explains where the proceedings stand.
On a Waco, Texas rally stage, Donald Trump lashing out this weekend at the Democratic district attorney developing a criminal case against him in New York City.
The innocence of people makes no difference whatsoever to these radical left maniacs.
Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg has been presenting evidence to a Manhattan grand jury for nearly 2 months. Expected to reconvene today, the grand jurors could soon decide if there's enough evidence to charge the former president with any crimes related to 2016 hush money payments facilitated by his former fixer turned critic Michael Cohen to Stormy Daniels, an adult film star who claims she had an affair with Mr. Trump a decade prior. Mr. Trump denies any affair took place. His attorney denies any crime was committed.
This was a personal civil settlement that's done every day in New York City.
The former president telling NBC News over the weekend he's not frustrated by the investigation.
I just did a speech for 2 hours. I'm not frustrated by anything. It's a fake investigation. We did nothing wrong.
Even suggesting it may be over, but providing no evidence.
I think they've already dropped the case. From what I understand, I think it's been dropped.
While the grand jury works, the former president warning last week on social media of, quote, potential death and destruction if he's charged. And posting last week this now-deleted image of himself holding a baseball bat next to an image of Bragg, drawing new condemnation from his own lawyer.
I think that was an ill-advised post that one of his social media people put up.
The DA has become the target of dozens of direct threats, a senior law enforcement official tells NBC News, including a letter on Friday threatening to kill him, which contained a white powder later determined to be harmless. Bragg emailing staff, quote, safety is our top priority, and vowing we will continue to apply the law evenly and fairly.
That was Garrett Hake reporting. The Senate is expected to vote today to end debate on a bill revoking the authorization of use of military force in Iraq. This comes just a little more than 20 years after the attack on Baghdad on March 19, 2003, that started the war. The bill would close an open-ended justification that presidents have used to carry out military actions in Iraq. The White House issued a statement supporting the legislation.
Next at noon, protests in Israel over a judicial overhaul. What has people so upset and the calls for a halt to the process?
Also, finding relief from allergies, why this season could be rough, and what you can do to keep the itching and sneezing in check.
Plus, banking turmoil across the country. At 12:30, how a local Raleigh bank is helping to stabilize the industry.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Crowds of Israelis gathered today in Jerusalem to protest against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government's judicial overhaul, and it appears to have worked. Protesters chanted democracy and waved the blue and white flags and carried signs after Netanyahu dismissed his defense minister. A short time ago, Netanyahu agreed that the overhaul bill would be given an extension. A day earlier, the minister appealed the government to halt that overhaul of the judicial system. And the overhaul would give the executive more control over appointing judges to the Supreme Court and allow the government to override court rulings on the basis of a simple parliamentary majority. Netanyahu is on trial on corruption charges, which he denies. The 29-year-old who was once at the center of an international child custody dispute is set to become a legislator in Cuba. Elian Gonzalez was rescued off the coast of Florida 16 years ago. He was later returned to his father in Cuba. Now the married father is set to join Cuba's parliament. The island's electoral system is designed in a way that official candidates do not face competition. During an interview, Gonzalez said he thought Fidel Castro would be proud of his nomination.
Federal investigators are looking to find what caused a helicopter crash that killed two Louisiana police officers. A Baton Rouge Police Department helicopter went down in a field before dawn yesterday morning. Witnesses say they believe the helicopter was helping in a police chase when it crashed. The Baton Rouge police chief is asking for support from the community as his department grieves.
Right now, we're asking the community to lift our officers up in prayer, to lift the family members of the two heroes who we lost today, to lift those families up in prayer during this difficult time.
The names of the officers have not yet been released. The FAA and NTSB are leading the investigation.
People in the Philadelphia area are stocking up on bottled water after a chemical spill in the nearby Delaware River. A spill of a latex finishing solution happened at a chemical factory upstream from a water treatment plant Friday. That plant serves almost a million customers in Philadelphia. City authorities say there is no sign of contamination in the water at this time. They are working to ease people's fears about the spill.
The health risks are very low, if present at all, and they would be long-term in nature. There are no acute effects associated with the low levels of exposures of these contaminants that we're seeing.
They say the water will be safe through at least midnight tonight, based on how long it takes for the water to move through the plant before it reaches customers.
Spring is officially here, and it can cause those with seasonal allergies to keep reaching for the tissues. Cleveland Clinic allergists say spring allergy season can last until early summer in many parts of the U.S. During this time, he suggests trying a nasal steroid or nasal antihistamine for congestion relief, sneezing, or a runny nose. An oral antihistamine can help relieve itching symptoms. People can also take some simple steps at home to keep their spring allergies in check.
Closing the windows helps keep the pollen out of your home. So I do recommend people close their windows and use their HVAC system if they have them. In addition to, if you have pets that go outside, actually, you know, kind of brush them off, wipe them off, keep them out of your bedroom because they carry pollen in on them.
And if your symptoms aren't improving, visit an allergist. They can help you find out what you're allergic to and develop a treatment plan. But one good thing about the rain that we saw over the weekend and this morning, let's wash some of that pollen away.
Knocks it down, right? Good. Make those streams of bright yellow
water. The yellow chalky rivulets.
Yeah, it's tough. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. And we had such a mild winter that it's bound to be worse this year, right?
Yes, we had it, you know, in February. We started to see all that pollen, and then it got a little colder in March, and it sort of tamped down just a little bit. And I'll tell you what, Saturday, it was just awful all across the area. But yes, the rain definitely helps, and we're still likely to see a good bit of pollen, at least for the next several weeks, that yellow pine pollen, and then it should begin to ease up for us. Here's a look at some more rain that may help that pollen situation. We've had severe storms along this front, and that's where they are right now, all the way down here across parts of Georgia and into Alabama. We're seeing some cloud cover, but beginning to see those clouds thin a little bit along and north of I-85. There's no rain that's out there right now, and it's going to be a little while before we see that front producing any showers for us. So here's Futurecast again, and you can see some of that clearing taking place here between, say, 2 and 5 o'clock, and then we'll see that potential for an isolated shower or maybe even a thunderstorm or two that comes through later on this evening. The newer runs of the computer models are showing less and less of that rain for us. And then on Tuesday, we have a chance. Again, we're going to wake up most likely to gray skies on Tuesday morning. And then in the afternoon and evening, we're going to see the potential for some rain. This is 7 p.m. And coming up in a little bit, we'll take it all the way through Tuesday night and into early Wednesday. Right now, we're looking at a little bit of sunshine off in the distance here as we take a look at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Lots of folks out enjoying the outdoors there. 69 is our temperature around the triangle, and we'll likely climb into the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Current temperature, 71 in Fayetteville, 70 in Goldsboro, 66 in Roxboro. So it's a nice mild lunchtime. Again, we'll climb into the upper 70s this afternoon with a late day chance of another round of a shower or two. On Tuesday, we're going to see some afternoon showers continuing into Tuesday night and possibly early Wednesday, but that should clear pretty quickly. You'll notice Tuesday and Wednesday feeling cooler with highs in the low to mid 60s. So that warmth that's with us right now slides out. We're going to see the cooler temperatures a little below normal for us Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we start to see the warmth coming back just in time for the weekend. But we'll also have a front that comes through. We're watching the timing on this. Some of the models bring the rain in time that it could affect the Durham Bulls home opener, which is on Friday. Other computer models have it coming in much later and the game would be dry. So we're watching that very closely. Excited for that. Kicking off baseball season. Incredible. On Saturday, of course, the Dreamville Festival. Well, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we'll have a closer look at our potential for rain for that, so you can maybe plan around it coming up.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center. We want to take you live out to Nashville, Tennessee, where we are hearing reports of a active shooter situation in Nashville. This is happening at Covenant Presbyterian School. It's a middle school, pre-K through sixth grade. The shooter is dead, but we're hearing officials say they have multiple patients. Crews are on standby right now at an area hospital, just waiting for patients to come in. Again, this is a very active scene. The shooter is dead. They do have a student reunification center set up for parents. This is breaking right now. We are going to stay on top of this and bring you the latest from the Live Center. Michelle, thanks. And again, that is in Nashville, Tennessee. Governor Cooper is set to sign the historic Medicaid expansion bill into law today. There are still a lot of unanswered questions. Today at 4, WRAL looks at the next steps to bring North Carolinians relief.
A major shakeup in auto insurance means you're paying more, not because of anything you did, but because of other drivers and criminals. Tonight at 6, 5 on Your Side breaks down what's happening and how to keep your costs low. Meantime, still ahead this noon, doctors' offices and hospitals can be intimidating places regardless of your age. How health professionals are using stuffed animals to teach kids that medicine is helpful, not harmful.
And you could say the Girl Scouts are a victim of their own success. How the organization's newest cookie is causing ripples among cookie fans.
Taking a live look right now, downtown Raleigh, cloud covered as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Some companies for telemarketing scams involving extended auto warranties have agreed to pay a $6.6 million judgment. Federal Trade Commission could ban three companies from the extended warranty industry and from all outbound telemarketing. The FTC says the actions may come as a result of the scammers making hundreds of thousands of unsolicited calls to people in the U.S., including some on the do not call list. The scammers also claim to be affiliated with vehicle makers.
Millennials are traveling at higher rates than baby boomers, Gen Xers, and Gen Zers. A new report says 18% of millennials have flown three times domestically in the last year. That's more than the 10% of Gen Xers and 6% of baby boomers who've taken three domestic flights this year. While millennials delay other life issues like home buying and marriage, they see traveling as a right. They don't spend excessively on travel, though. Millennials spend less per trip than baby boomers or Gen Xers. The Girl Scouts are learning some hard business lessons due to issues with a hot new cookie. The Girl Scouts are already out of the Raspberry Rally. The new cookie is falling victim to supply and demand issues. The cookie can be purchased through online-only ordering. And unfortunately, Girl Scouts have to explain why they're not available right now. Two suppliers ran into problems with not enough lead time to make the cookie, as well as plant power outages.
Before I could jump, the wind had just pushed the whole wall. The windows just busted, glass just was everywhere.
Coming up, we'll hear from survivors from this weekend's deadly tornadoes in Mississippi.
Plus, cuts to the nation's food stamp program isn't just affecting customers. Later, how businesses are feeling the effects. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
And we want to return to our top story. An officer-involved shooting in Southeast Raleigh. This is a story that we've been telling you about all morning, about a block and a half away from Ligon Middle School that was on code yellow lockdown earlier this morning for about half an hour.
Yeah, kids all safe in that area. And right now, Raleigh police are setting up a news conference. And when that happens, we're going to take you right to it. We have a crew on the way to that scene as well. And we'll bring you that information as soon as we get it. Powerful tornadoes, meantime, in the Deep South, blamed for at least 26 deaths, dozens of injuries, businesses and homes are gone.
Survivors are trying to construct fixes where they can as help is on the way. Rebecca Castor gives us a look at the damage and the recovery effort.
These are close-knit, small communities where everyone's family or a friend. And so those who lost their life are known by everyone in the community, so there's certainly heartbreak.
People in Mississippi continue to clean up after powerful tornadoes. Heavy tractor trailers sitting on top of buildings. The extent of the damage still setting in.
I've never seen a devastation like this in the Delta in many, many years. And this is going to be very painful. This was a struggling community because of the poverty that exists in it and the lack of opportunities.
Recovery will be complicated because the large swaths of damage are in sparsely populated areas of the state. Surviving residents in need of help are scattered far and wide.
There are fatalities from the western border to the eastern border and a lot of places in between.
Volunteers and emergency workers have a daunting task ahead of them.
People show up from all over the state of Mississippi and people show up from all over America to provide help.
Volunteers with Global Empowerment Mission in Florida are packing boxes of much-needed supplies to send to Mississippi. Other supplies and help also on the way.
With one truck, we can help up to 1,500 families.
That was Rebecca Castor reporting. For the fifth straight day, severe weather conditions, including tornado watches, are expected in that region of the Deep South.
Happening right now in the WREL Life Center, the North Carolina Zoo in Asheboro is closed today because of a bomb threat. This is our sister station here, Fox 8. You can see a lot of officials outside the zoo. At 10:45 this morning, the Randolph County Sheriff's Office responded to the zoo, and a representative there advised them they had received a bomb threat through electronic means. The zoo right now is currently being evacuated and will be closed until further notice. Police are working with the zoo park rangers to secure the zoo perimeter, and the Guilford County Sheriff's Office bomb squad has been assisting in this investigation. Again, the North Carolina Zoo closed today and being evacuated because of an electronic bomb threat that they received.
Thanks for that update, Michelle. Funeral services and burials are planned today for two 16-year-olds who were shot and killed. A funeral for Angel Canales began at 11 o'clock this morning at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Durham. We're going to take you out to Chelsea Donovan right now, and Chief Estelle Patterson is starting that news conference in Raleigh.
Is ongoing, and the information I'm providing is very preliminary. As we get more information, we certainly will share that. At approximately 6:53 this morning, we received an initial 911 call of a subject with a firearm pointing it at vehicles near Ligon Maggot Middle School. Additionally, we received multiple calls of a male subject carrying a firearm and shooting it at occupied vehicles. Wake County Public Schools was advised of the incident that was evolving, and they went into yellow lockdown. Multiple officers responded to the general area covering several blocks from the school to the location of the officer-involved shooting. Based on the information from the 911 calls, the officers searched for the individual. The officers then encountered him in the 700 block of Cumberland Street in a residential area. When the subject saw the officers, he fired at least five shots at them. Two officers returned fire, and the subject was struck. EMS was immediately notified and responded to the scene. The subject was transported to the hospital, where medical staff confirmed that he succumbed to his injuries. The preliminary investigation indicates that during this quickly evolving incident, the subject fired shots hitting two vehicles that were occupied and two police vehicles while the officers were close to them. Based on 911 calls, the movement of the subject spanned several blocks, endangering many lives. Officers were wearing their body-worn cameras and captured the interaction with the subject. There were no injuries to the officers nor to residents. All investigations are ongoing at this time. They will be thorough and will follow the available facts and evidence. In keeping with departmental policy, the SBI was notified and promptly responded to conduct a criminal investigation and will submit its findings directly to the Wake County District Attorney. RPD's Internal Affairs Unit will conduct an administrative investigation that will focus on departmental policies and procedures. I want to thank the Raleigh Fire Department and the Wake County EMS for their quick response and assistance. And I especially want to thank the multiple residents and citizens in our community who reported this very terrifying incident. We received at least 12 911 calls related to it. To the citizens of Raleigh, your immediate calls and your continuous updates aided in our response to the scene. We are still in the process of interviewing witnesses at this time. But anyone with additional information is encouraged to call Crime Stoppers at 919-996-1193. I do thank everyone for their patience as we continue to gather information about this incident. I'm extremely proud of the brave and selfless acts of our Raleigh police officers in this incident. They immediately responded to the scene and were instrumental in preventing injury or further loss of lives. We are still working to positively identify the subject in this case. And certainly anytime there is a loss of life, it is difficult for all involved. Our thoughts and prayers are with everyone who is involved in this incident. As a standard protocol and in the spirit of transparency, I will be releasing a 5-day report to the city manager's office, and this report will provide additional information regarding this incident. I will take a few questions that you may have.
Chief, what is the status of the two officers that fired back? Were they on administrative leave and you guys were conducting that internal investigation?
Yes, that is standard protocol that anytime there is an officer-involved shooting, that the officers involved will be placed on administrative leave.
You said that the man was firing into cars. Were any people in those cars that potentially were injured as well? What about that?
No injuries to anyone in the vehicles, but yes, he was firing at cars that were occupied by individuals. In fact, one 911 caller indicated he pointed the weapon at her. She ran the red light just to get away from that individual.
Do you have an age of the suspect for us, or if there's any ties to the middle school, why there?
We do not have that information at this time.
Was it right near drop-off property?
It was in the vicinity of Ligon. In fact, some of the 911 callers were teachers from the school. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
That was Chief Estella Patterson right there from RPD headquarters providing an update on the story that we have been covering all morning long. The shooter was killed in that. That adds some facts to some of the things confirmed that we have been reporting all morning long about some of the facts about the incident that were going on there. But officers returning fire and killing that subject, that is an update for us.
Yeah. Chief Patterson gave us a clearer picture of how it all started. People witnessed a man that started shooting at vehicles. Some of them were occupied, and when police got on there, also shot at those police vehicles where police officers were nearby. This was in the 700 block of Cumberland Street. This was right around 7 o'clock this morning, not too far from Ligon Middle School. And now they say no threat to public safety. And the big takeaway here, the shooter in that shooting is dead.
And what we're finding out as well, some of the details of how scary that situation, somebody running a red light to get away from somebody who's trying to shoot people in downtown Raleigh and in a neighborhood setting as well. So scary situation, and details just coming in from the police chief here. We'll have plenty more on this. WREL.com will be the place to find that as well. And we come back with our county by county coverage. Stand by. Our county by county coverage takes us to Harnett, Wayne, and Moore counties. Volunteers are needed for the city of Dunn's spring litter sweep. It begins at 8:30 a.m. at City Hall on Saturday, April 22nd. After receiving safety vests, gloves, and trash bags, volunteers will go out and clean up various locations around the city. To find out more about how you can volunteer, visit the city's website at cityofdunn.org. Getting access to cancer care in Moore County is about to get a lot easier. First Health is opening its new cancer center today. Until now, all of First Health's programs have been spread out in different locations. Now they'll all be under one roof. The state-of-the-art facility almost doubles in size to the hospital's system's current systems and services. It includes a fitness center, dedicated yoga space, areas for clinical trials, and even a healing garden. Today, a new historical marker honoring the service of black soldiers will go up in Goldsboro. The Civil War Trail marker will commemorate the 158th anniversary of the regiment who served under Union General William Sherman in 1865. The Civil War Trail connects more than 1,400 historic sites across six states, including North Carolina.
And back here in the Life Center, we are following some absolutely devastating news out of Nashville, Tennessee. Three children are now dead after a shooting at Covenant Presbyterian School. It is a private Christian school, middle school. It's pre-K through sixth grade. We do know that the shooter is also dead. Earlier, officials did say they had multiple patients. We can now confirm at least three children have died. We are not sure how many children in total have been brought to the hospital. They do have a student reunification center set up for parents. They say there is no threat to public safety. This is a breaking situation. We're going to stay on top of this and bring you the latest from the Life Center.
Just heartbreaking. One hospital is giving kids a chance to have their favorite toy examined and treated by doctors. How teddy bears are helping to remove the fear of hospitals. And fresh produce can be good medicine. The new programs that make sure fruits and vegetables are exactly what the doctor ordered to treat your health problems.
The end of food stamps could mean trouble for food businesses as well as families. A report says federal help through the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, SNAP, is ending in most states. Currently, about 41 million American families are receiving help through SNAP, and now low-income families will have about $95 less per month for groceries. That could create income trouble for grocery chains that participate. Dietitians and health providers are turning to natural food produce to treat certain diet-related chronic conditions rather than medicine. A growing number of health providers are using the approach. More than 100 prescription produce programs were launched in the U.S. between 2010 and 2020. One nurse practitioner says fresh produce can help some forms of diabetes, eliminate elevated cholesterol, and impact blood pressure.
For some people, the fear of going to the doctor is so severe that it can induce panic attacks. Chris DeMeo shows us how some medical professionals are using stuffed animals to teach kids that medicine is helpful, not harmful.
Iatrophobia is the extreme fear of doctors or medical tests, and according to the Cleveland Clinic, the disorder can cause people to avoid getting medical care even if they desperately need it. While exact statistics on how many people have iatrophobia are not available, the National Institutes of Health says about 1 in 3 people try and dodge their doctor's visits. Fear surrounding a trip to the doctor can be normal, especially for young kids. But according to the NIH, that fear can trigger behavioral problems, making it harder for a healthcare provider to treat them.
When children don't have any experience of something, they're apprehensive. They don't cooperate.
Overseas in Belgium, the Teddy Bears Clinic is trying to reduce that anxiety. The workshop pairs kids with medical students who use the child's favorite stuffed animal to teach them about medicine.
The dog had an earache.
Soon-to-be doctors examine the toys for any health problems, explaining the steps to the kids so they know what's going on and why certain tools are being used.
Coming to the Teddy Bears Clinic allows them to discover the world of medicine, to understand how it works, to talk to health professionals in a playful context where they're not patients. Because of that, they come out having learned something, with a better understanding of medicine, and they're much more relaxed if ever they have to experience it as patients.
And no teddy bears were hurt in the making of that story.
Yeah. Well, and now we have less anxiety about the weather now that the showers have moved off. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with weather we can break through with some sunshine.
And look at this. Back to the west, we're seeing the sunshine breaking out. The bright white area is where the clouds are. So we're starting to see the clouds thin a little bit up around Roxborough, Oxford, Henderson, northern part of Durham and Orange counties. Most of the sunshine is well to our west. So we're going to see the clouds continuing to break up for a little while, but we do have a cold front that will come through right about the time of the evening commute. You can see it right here. There's been a lot of storm activity along this front, but it's all been well to our south. So you can see ahead of the front here to our west, there's not much going on. So there's going to be just a small line, a little bit of cloud cover, a quick line of showers that rolls through right about the time of the evening commute. But this system definitely has a history of producing severe storms over the last 48 hours and then even prior to that. But in the last 48 hours, we've had several reports of tornado damage across parts of Alabama and Georgia. We've had a lot of hail reports. And at 2 a.m., we had a report of some trees down in Moore County. So we've had not very much severe weather here. But what could happen with these showers that roll through for us later on this afternoon is we could see a little bit of hail with those. How much rainfall have we seen so far? Ranging anywhere from 1/2 inch to about 3/4 inch. We've had some heavier amounts down to the south across parts of Wayne County and then down here toward St. Clinton, as much as 1 inch of rain in the last 24 hours or so. Here's a look at future cast. Again, some clearing back to the west. We'll see some holes in the clouds. We're not going to completely clear, but that's 3 o'clock. And then around 5, 6 o'clock, we'll see that band of rain that rolls through. A slight chance that we could see some hail with those showers. And then we clear out. And the first part of Tuesday looks nice and quiet. We may have some high thin cloud cover. There's lunchtime, hopefully seeing a little bit of sunshine. And then some light showers develop down to the south during the evening commute. And then overnight, we see a better chance for rain. Look at that. It could be fairly heavy for us on Tuesday night into early Wednesday, and then it moves out by the morning commute. And so we'll, of course, be looking. Okay. All right. Yeah. Tossing back to you guys.
All right, so NBC News has a special report covering the deadly shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's listen in.
News special report. Here's Lester Holt.
Good day. We're coming on the air with breaking news. There has been a shooting at a Christian elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee. Officials from the hospital confirmed three children were pronounced dead after suffering gunshot wounds. Authorities say the gunman is also dead. We want to go to NBC's Steve Patterson. Steve, what have you gathered so far?
Lester, it's a limited amount of information. Obviously, this is a fast-breaking story. It's unfolding as we speak, but the limited information we do have is already heartbreaking. As you say, these three students were shot. They were transferred to a local hospital, a children's hospital in Vanderbilt, nearby where this was. And then those three children were pronounced dead at that hospital. We're also hearing that the shooter, as you mentioned, died during a confrontation with police. The local police described it as being engaged by officers. Now, we don't know if that resulted in an exchange of gunfire and that's how the shooter was down, or if that gunfire was self-inflicted, but the shooter is reported down. That's the latest. We're learning more about the setting that this took place as well. This Covenant School, a private Christian grade school, about 200 students, ages preschool to sixth grade. We're hearing that the students were reunited with their parents, the ones that were able to get out after this shooting, their hands up. Obviously, that scene that we've seen so many times in these school shooting settings. But we just don't have any information about how this necessarily unfolded, how it started, how it's progressing, what police are investigating at this time, besides the obvious warning to the public that has now been extinguished with the fact that they say that the shooter is down in this case. But obviously, a lot of people, you know, worried, nervous about their children, worried about this community, in what we hear often in these shootings that occur at schools.
And we're referring to the shooter as a gunman. Do we have any real characterization on anything about the shooter at this point?
I have not seen an age. I have not seen a name. We don't know anything about the shooter at this point yet, Lester.
Yeah, again, this school is an elementary school for preschool through sixth grade, so we're talking very young children, obviously. Let me bring in Frank Figluzzi. He's an NBC News national security analyst. Frank, we saw some of those photos a moment ago, kids arm in arm being walked out. We've seen it too many times before. You think of these young kids, they are growing up in an environment where active shooter drills and may be part of their existence at that school, certainly many schools around the country. What are some of the first questions you'd be asking right now?
Yeah, this is indeed an all too familiar scene, but law enforcement in the greater Nashville area is very well oiled and partnered together. So you'll see a combined federal, state, county and local response, likely ATF and FBI from the federal side, because the weapon becomes important. That's ATF. And then, of course, the motivation. What is behind any ideology or reason for this madness? FBI will come in and assist and offer cyber forensics, et cetera. But, you know, as familiar as this scene is, Lester, there's also some discrepancies or anomalies that jump out right now. First of all, very rare to have a private school experience a school shooting. As we were going on the air, I was beginning to research that. It is not common at all. The private school environment is seen as more able to control the environment and the enrollment. Not so many rules and regulations and governance. So parents feel very commonly that it's safer to send their children to school. This is a Presbyterian private school, and of course, an elementary school. Again, we've seen that happen, of course, infamously in Connecticut at Sandy Hook, but not all that common. So we've got these two factors here. And the first thing you have to think of is the relationship between the shooter and the school. Likely that this is not simply a random walk-in, but rather some connection is likely there that will be researched immediately. And of course, the immediate question, how did this person get in? Was there a restricted entrance? Is there a buzz-in system that is so common now in public schools, but may not have been in place here? Lots of questions, very few answers. As the hours go by and the days go by, we'll get more answers. One positive note, if there's any here at all, Lester, is sadly, we're now judging and critiquing school shootings by how few people are dead. That's a sad state of affairs, but when the police arrived and engaged the shooter, we now have three, and I'm not going to say only three because that means nothing to those parents who have lost those children, but thank God the police arrived relatively quickly and engaged the shooter, and this is over.
Frank, well put. I have sat in this seat too many times covering instances like this. We're in that now agonizing period. We're waiting for answers. We know the three dead children were confirmed at a hospital. We don't know exactly what officers have found at the scene right now as they begin to secure that area. Obviously, you see children who have been safely let out. Let me go to NBC Steve Patterson right now. Steve, you're hearing some from parents now, I understand.
Yeah, the one more important piece of reporting that I think is good for that community is to hear is that parents have reunited with their children. And you showed that images, you know, of kids outside of that classroom ostensibly safely and meeting with their parents so they know where their kids are. We're actually hearing from some of those parents at the scene. I want to play this for you. Listen to this.
I called him to make sure it wasn't, or I thought maybe it was a bomb threat. And then there were so many police cars. And then the ambulances started coming away from the school. And that's when I had heard it was a school shooting. And that's just, there's no words because they weren't letting the parents up there. So they were just running up the street.
Just the abject horror, the terror there, the relief, I think, as well. But we often hear this so many times in these school shootings. She thought it was a bomb threat and then finds out that it was an actual school shooting at her child's school. Heartbreaking to hear that. Probably the first of many that we're going to hear from. Lester.
All right, Steve, thanks. Let me go back to Frank Figluzzi. Frank,